You're listening to the Fearless Kitchen Podcast and your host, Vanessa Baxter.
Good morning and welcome to an episode of the Fearless Kitchen. And I have a fabulous podcast partner in worldpodcasts.com. And I'm really, really excited that we're a year into our journey and I'm now able to also be known as a proud author of a cookbook called The Fearless Kitchen as well, with the most stunning photography by Todd Eyre. And I'm really so super excited about where this journey has taken me. So today what I thought was I'd bring you a bit of a solo episode and slightly different, but just talking around about kitchen equipment and the essentials of being able to get some cooking done. And I thought that this was a really important topic because I've just run a two-day camp with kids. And the kids came in and they cooked with me for two full days, 8 hours a day, and they were absolutely extraordinary what they achieved. And so many of the parents and onlookers said, oh my goodness, I didn't know how to smoke chicken, or I wouldn't know how to stuff squid, or I don't know how to make my own kumara bread. And I thought, wow, you know, these kids will really just run with whatever I encourage them to do. And if I'm confident in their ability, then they really rise to that challenge and they're really amazing and creative. But what I also wanted to explain to parents, and the kids are well aware of this, is I'm very much about using the equipment that you have and being able to be creative with things that you already have in your kitchen, rather than having to go out and buy lots of trivia and bits and pieces that you may never use. And along with this is my very much, as I've got older, I've become more conscious of this, but very much my philosophy that rather than going and buying, you know, really cheap and inferior items, to replace those ones as you can do to save up and buy better quality equipment. And that way you may have less pieces, but you will probably need less pieces in the kitchen. You buy superior quality of them and then they will hold you in good stead for a lot longer time. And they will also probably be able to assist you in a variety of different ways that a cheaper product will not be able to do. So you'll often find that these more valuable and higher quality end products are actually a lot easier to look after also, and you don't have to worry so much about them because they have been made with so much more care that actually you can kind of be tougher and rougher with them and get away with more than you would have to around a much cheaper or inferior product. So although I really, really love kitchen equipment and utensils, and I do and happily spend hours in kitchen stores and in bookstores looking at recipe books, at the end of the day, I use a pretty simple collection of essentials when I'm cooking. So, of course, the most important thing for any chef or food lover or big cook would be the knives. And, you know, it really is a pretty personal preference when it comes to knives. When you're buying a knife, it's really important for you to actually hold that knife in your hand and see how it feels and ask the shop that you're in to please let you have the knife out of the cupboard, ask them about the blade and really get a feel for it in your hand. What you're after is one large chef's knife, a really decent knife that is heavy enough to do the job but is not going to have your arm aching when you use it, a small vegetable knife and maybe a serrated knife as well. So you need a bread knife. That's always good for serrated. But, you know, you can see the little small serrated knives that are not terribly expensive. And those are great little knives for getting through a tomato or something where the skin can be quite tricky with just a flat blade knife. I also have a cleaver, which I find handy for, you know, chopping open coconuts or cracking through bones of meat and stuff like that, but that's kind of like an added extra. And if you have spent money on a really decent big chef's knife, then you'll probably find that that one will also do the job. Then you get to your pots and pans, and this is always a really, really tricky one, of course. I tend to always revert to three or four types of pan. So I've got my medium-sized saucepan, you know, which I use for cooking eggs or custards, sauces, and for reheating. I like it to be a really decent based pan so that it isn't always burning on the bottom of the base of it, which drives me crazy. And, you know, a good stainless steel one that has excellent induction of heat and that can be used from gas to induction. Because whilst I use gas at home, I'm often in a situation where I'm cooking on induction for demos or in other people's kitchens. And I love induction as well. And so I like my pans to be versatile across all of the cooking opportunities. It's also good to have a really large stock pan for your stocks and your soups and for cooking pasta. And of course, when you're cooking pasta, you should always have three times the amount of water at minimum as you do pasta itself. So you need a really decent, huge pan that you can get your water really boiling rapidly in before you dump your dried pasta into. Then on top of that, a really great cast iron pan or something that can serve as a casserole dish from stovetop into oven if you possibly can. That would be awesome. So you can start on the top and saute off your onions and colour off your meat and add extra ingredients on the top and get it all the flavours lovely and mixed before you put it in the oven to slow cook. That's a great idea as well if you can do that. And then of course, everyone needs a fry pan. I have a cast iron pan, which I absolutely love, but in the process probably of getting a non-stick and a really good stainless steel one as well, and they're absolutely fine. And then you can start getting creative from that if you want to have a crepe pan, because you're always doing crepes and pikelets and pancakes. But there comes the extra expense. So I would get your basics sorted first, and then as you move along and you realize, well, look, I've got these really great quality products here now, they're working really well, the next time you need to go and spend, you don't have to replace your fry pan or replace your saucepan, because the ones you've bought are going to be lifelong ones. And then you might be saving up for a treat like a crepe pan or something. My other really important item in the kitchen for me is chopping boards. And I have two absolutely beautiful, heavy Jarrah chopping boards that were lovingly made by a friend of mine, Jamie McCall, in Western Australia. And everyone always comments on them and like, wow, they're just amazing. They're heavy. You can't move them too far. You're not likely to take them to the batch for the weekend, but they're fabulous to chop onto. They're great for your knives. And if I'm going from raw meat to vegetables, I'll literally just flip them over and use the other side before I give them a good clean. And really just to keep them looking beautiful for years and years and years and really for life, you just need to touch a little bit of vegetable oil onto them so that they don't dry out, and then just let them rest overnight for all the oil to soak into them. So that's really super easy as well. Then if you're a big baker, of course, you're probably going to have a drawer or cupboard full of your baking items, you know, like some baking pans and a little tart or flan mold's always useful. I've got a stand mixer for my whipping and whisking, and I've got a food processor if I'm producing large quantities of things like pestos or sauces or a coleslaw where I'm grating huge quantities of stuff, and I feel that it would be a little bit too laborious to be doing it all by hand. Another thing that you will probably need, of course, is your digital scales. And nowadays, the digital scales are so cool because you can reset to zero in between each time you add your new ingredient. So you put your flour in, for example, and then you reset it to zero, and you could add the sugar on top of that and then reset it to zero and then measure the next item on top of that, coconut or cocoa, whatever it is that you're adding, which makes life a lot easier because you can just stick to one bowl and just keep adding the ingredients in and weighing them each time. Now, some people have got groovy machines that do this for them as well. In fact, my food processor, I can actually measure the amounts that I am weighing in on the food processor. So that's kind of fancy. But again, that's the next step up. I do have a fantastic food processor, and that will probably last me for life as well, because it's just ongoing and it's really sturdy and it's, you know, seriously good quality. Then you probably want to have a sieve as well for rinsing out your pasta, washing out your veggies and stuff like that. A decent roasting pan. Every family needs a decent roasting pan, because if you have a good roasting pan, you have a meal every night. And whilst it may not be the most creative meal that you've cooked, if you're cooking in a roasting pan every night, I tell you what, you can easily churn out dinner after dinner after dinner from one pan. And when I say roasting pan, you know, a really fabulous one that fits into your oven, that you could flatten an entire butterfly leg of lamb or an entire butterfly chicken onto, pile all your vegetables around the outside, pop the whole thing into the oven and cook, you know, for the length of time that's appropriate for the meal you've put in, all on one pan. It is such a cool way to cook, and you can change your sauces, change your herbs and spices to change up the flavor of what you are cooking. So, you know, one day you can make it Indian inspired and another day it could be Italian inspired or Middle Eastern inspired. You know, one day you could maybe do fish in there wrapped in baking paper that's poaching while your vegetables are cooking, and another day it could be a spicy butterflied lamb with, you know, chickpeas and potatoes. So that you need a really decent, good conducting roasting pan to achieve those things. Then in my kitchen, because I spent so much time, of course, in Asia, I've also got this fabulous stone pestle and mortar. And that for me is invaluable for making small portions of pastes and sauces, like a curry paste pounded up in there, or just mixing together some seeds, or maybe a pesto, or even hand making a small amount of hummus. All of those can be done in small quantities in a pestle and mortar, which is awesome. And of course, you know, your sort of standard basic needs, which is a box grater, a vegetable peeler. I also go to the Asian shops and buy Asian julienne peelers. In those cases, I do buy cheap and cheerful. They last for ages. By the time they fall apart, you know, you've spent a dollar on them. It's pretty easy in those cases to buy another one. And to be honest, I haven't really seen the expensive version of those apart from a huge big spiralizer machine, which I'm not really interested in having clog up my cupboard. And then I've got, you know, a jar full of wooden spoons and some tongs and a silicon spatula. And that, I would say, is pretty much all I use in the kitchen. The only other essential item that I now have literally everywhere, on the back of cupboard doors, on the back of the door, hanging over my kind of bookshelf, is an apron. And it has become a complete ritual for me, because I used to not worry about an apron and I just used to cook in whatever clothes I was in. And it suddenly dawned on me that I was wrecking my clothes. And I was going through item after item of clothing with little dots of oil here and little dots of tomato there. And I thought, enough is enough. Aprons can be washed with tea towels. This is going to be very easy. So I started to acquire aprons wherever I went. I've got aprons. People buy me aprons. I have now my aprons with my logo, The Fearless Kitchen, on them. And I think it is imperative when I walk into the kitchen to put my hair up, wash my hands and put an apron on. And it's funny, because since I've started this habit, I feel really weird if I'm cooking A, with my hair down, or B, without an apron. I feel completely almost naked, as if I'm not doing the right thing at all. And that's just in the home kitchen. And it's taken me a while to really sort of push that habit upon myself and treat my own kitchen as if I am in a commercial kitchen. You know, hair up, apron on, hands washed, get going. And because I'm at home and not in a commercial kitchen, I do have my little puppies at my feet, and they're my other essential item because I chat to them while I'm cooking. They keep me company. I feel like they love me, but I know really they're at my feet waiting for things to be dropped down into their little greedy mouths. But I have a toy poodle and a Bichon Frise, and they are absolutely superb company in the kitchen, and they make me laugh when they go scurrying across the floor for a tiny bit of carrot peel that may have dropped down while I'm on my way to cooking. So they are my essentials for the kitchen, and it would be really amazing to hear what your essentials are and whether you have different type of essentials that you would use as go-tos every day. So I'm going to put up a post on my Facebook page and see what it is that everyone finds as the most essential piece of equipment in their kitchen, and we'll get a conversation happening around that. Meantime, I am going to keep this brief for today. I hope that you are all inspired to be fearless in your kitchens at home. If you feel like working with me one-on-one with your family, then drop me an email, because I have a great coaching program that I've set up now for working with families and encouraging, you know, a really healthful approach to eating in your home, which is simple and easy with some fabulous recipes. I've got my cookbook as well, which you can also grab and be inspired by my recipes that I've produced from all over the world, from my travels. And I'm really thrilled with the quality of this book and the stunning photography and, of course, a year of work that's gone into it to bring it to you guys. So I hope you have a fantastic day, and I shall look forward to touching base with you again next week. Thanks so much for joining me. Bye.